October 23rd, 2013 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item on our agenda is roll call. Those present include Commissioners House, Eckley, Luce, Ray, Steele, and ex officio Buffington. Second item on the agenda is consent agenda, including excuse of absences. Ex officio Buffington, Commissioners Chase and Jensen called in to report they would not be here. Second item on the consent agenda is a list of administrative approvals. Adding a third item, I'd like to introduce Lisa Spielman. And are you permanent assistant or helping out or?
I'm helping out until somebody gets hired to replace Tony.
Thanks. And if you'd like to introduce ourselves, maybe?
So I'm Marsh McClintock of North Slope Ex Officio.
I'm James Steele, architect.
Commissioner.
I'm Dan. I'm here.
I'm Megan. I'm an archaeologist.
Ed Eckley, I'm a historian.
I'm Kent House, archivist, whatever that has to do with this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for helping us out. Looking forward to those exciting minutes.
Yeah, don't look too forward to it.
Well, you won't. We were here. We knew.
I'll try and make them interesting.
Okay, thanks. Item 3 on the agenda is special tax evaluation for 1401 North 5th Street. And we'll start with the staff report.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just briefly give an overview of this since these applications only come in really once a year. So the commission doesn't see these too frequently because we only process them once a year for the county assessor. The special tax valuation, under state law, under the Washington Administrative Code 25420, local governments are enabled to adopt local legislation to provide for special valuation of historic properties that have been rehabilitated. With regard to the application review process, state law authorized local historic review boards, you guys, to determine, one, whether the property is included within a class of historic property determined eligible for the program, whether the property has been rehabilitated at a cost equal to or exceeding 25% of the assessed improvement value at the beginning of the project within 24 months prior to the date of application, and three, whether the property has been altered in any way which adversely affects those elements which qualify it as historically significant. If the local review board finds that the property satisfies all three of the above requirements, then shall, on behalf of the local jurisdiction, the city of Tacoma, enter into an agreement with the owner which at minimum includes the provisions set forth in the WAC, which includes ongoing design review, preservation of the property, and so forth. Upon execution of the said agreement between the owner and the local review board, the local review board shall approve the application. And per the Tacoma Municipal Code, this body is that local review board. And so the application that you have before you today is 1401 North 5th Street, which is in the North Slope Historic District. The property eligibility is that it is a contributing property within the North Slope Historic District, which by ordinance is considered to be among the class of historically eligible properties. The cost claimed in the application was $238,212. The assessed improvement value prior to the rehabilitation was $207,300. The rehabilitation percentage of the assessed value is 115%. The project period was December 2011 to July 2013, which was 19 months. The appropriateness of the rehabilitation. Exterior work included siding, windows, and doors as approved by the Landmarks Commission on October 26th and December 14th, 2011. So as we do every year, staff has reviewed the itemized expense sheets and recommends approval of this application in the amount of $208,940, which reflects accounting corrections and deductions totaling $29,272 for non-eligible expenses, which include fencing, a driveway, walkways, and appliances. And that's my recommendation.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions?
Pictures of the before and after up on the screen as well. Folks may recall this is the former Northwest Kinetics buildings, one of them that were medical use and had additions to them, and lots of office space inside.
I'd just say that, you know, what Ms. Price and her family has done at this property has really helped reinvigorate that particular area that was particularly problematic because of the Northwest Kinetics operation there and so forth. And so it's, you know, it's a delight to see that this building, which had been severely changed over the years, has been brought back to a considerable extent to an original look. So I would certainly like to see the commission to support this.
Call going on tour, but I think both would be at least one, and this just seems very amazing. So I agree. Does someone care to make a motion?
Quite sure how to formulate this. It's a move that the Tacoma Landmark Preservation Commission approve the application for special tax valuation for the property at 1401 North 5th Street, Tacoma. Do I need to include more? In the amount? Oh, okay. In the amount of, that'd be the $208,940.
By Commissioner Eckley. Is there any discussion? I guess we should have a second. I'll second. Second by Commissioner Newsom. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Motion's approved.
So I will work with the legal department to draft the agreement, and I'll be in contact so we can get that signed note rights and sent to the county assessor's office.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item four on the agenda are two design reviews. The first is for a blade sign at 1712 Pacific in the Union Depot Warehouse Historic District. And again, we'll start with staff report and Supervisor Kim.
Yeah, indeed.
Thanks for joining us.
So so these are two very, very similar applications, and they have separate items in the staff report. I'm not going to read all of that twice. The first one is 1712 Pacific Avenue, which is in the Union Depot Historic District. This is on the Russell T. Joy Building, which was recently rehabilitated by the university in 2011. This application is to install a single 35-inch by 15.5-inch non-illuminated blade sign using leg screws and lead expansion shields drilled into the mortar joints for a new restaurant tenant. The action requested is approval of the sign application. I'm not going to read in all of the Union Depot sign guidelines because they're about a page long, different stipulations in there. But instead, jump to the staff analysis. That is, the Russell T. Joy Building is a contributing structure within the Union Depot Warehouse Historic District, and as such, installation of signs requires Landmarks Preservation Commission approval per TMC 13.5.0.7.4. The proposed sign is non-illuminated and will be attached using leg screws and mortar joints. It will be located near the business entrance and will not obscure or cover any contributing architectural features on the building. And based on that, staff recommends approval of the application as submitted. This is a fairly typical installation for the Union Depot District, and it's consistent with other blade signs, well metering. So that's my recommendation for that one.
Thank you. You don't need to, but if you have anything to add, you're welcome to.
No, Mr. McKnight summed it up pretty well.
Discussion or questions?
Do you have images of what this looks like?
I'm trying to get to them.
Were they in our packet?
They're in our
packet. Not paying attention.
Is this the one right here? This is the first one? So this is one up here. The first one is the Pho Tan Brothers restaurant. And so it'll be located here, adjacent to the door. Here's the entry door right here. This is the surface of the building right here, and then this is the blade.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Sign number one is approved. Item B on the design review agenda, section four, is the blade sign at 1716 Pacific, also in Union Depot Warehouse Historic District. Whatever you care to present.
This is a 3x3 or 36-inch by 36-inch non-illuminated blade sign installed using wedge anchors drilled into the mortar joints, again for a new restaurant tenant at 716. Similar analysis as before, staff recommends approval of this as submitted.
Any questions or discussion on this sign? If not,
I move that we approve the proposal for the blade sign installed at 1716 Pacific
Avenue. Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Luce. I'll second again. Say all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Motion's approved. Thank you.
I have a quick question. In terms of the approval, we submitted a approval letter to accompany our sign permit applications, or do I just indicate that you guys said it was good to go?
I will have a written decision for you. For the purposes of permitting, I'm in the same area as the people that will be issuing sign permits, so I can certainly, when they prepare to issue the actual permit, they'll route it to me just for signature. So at any time you are planning to come in to gain the signature, just let me know. Otherwise, I can make sure that our permitting plan reviewers know already. And so in terms of if you want to have something to show a client or the sign packet or anything like that, I'll have a written decision up in a couple of days.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Fifth item on the agenda is a board briefing regarding proposed new construction at 1114 North K Street in the North Slope Historic District.
So this is at 1114 North K Street, which is a vacant lot currently. This is going to be a briefing for feedback from the commission. And I wanted to note for the commission that this is not a formal review at this time. And so, again, this is to provide early briefing. The other thing I want to say, this is Mr. How do you pronounce your last name?
Kellen.
Kellen.
And Roy Kessler's with me.
Thank you. you're probably aware from preliminary discussions, there's some land use zoning things that have to be worked out with the design as well.
Yeah.
And so this at this point is a project that is preparing, I think, to go through the permitting process, and so we're early. And so I'll just, I have the full scale set. There's a reduced set in the packets, and I'll put that out on the table for folks. But basically, this is a proposed new detached dwelling in the North Slope on that vacant lot. The lot is narrow and long, which creates a design challenge. In 2006, some commissioners may recall or may not recall, there was a similar long and narrow construction on the adjacent lot. In addition, there was a long and narrow house that was reviewed by this commission and approved in 2007, but was never built. So the North Slope District Design Guidelines for New Construction would apply to this project. And so at this point, this is a feedback and discussion briefing, and I'll grab the plan set, and if you wanted to give the commission sort of a walkthrough of the project
I've been working on the permitting process on it, and I think we submitted this one 3 or 4 weeks ago, and to get it further along through land use, we have to get a preliminary approval from you so that we can then find out what other designs and changes. We've gone over some, and we're wanting to work through these issues on it and get it all done so we can start construction on the project. But we've done hundreds of homes throughout Tacoma, but this is actually the first time that I've come across, I don't know if you have,
never.
Yeah, in the historical district. And we do deal a lot with small lot design, so we're real familiar with that and what needs to be done. It's just a little bit more stringent in these areas, and we're just looking for some feedback, some guidelines. What do we do to get into the rest of the processing so that we can find out if there's other departments that we have issues to deal with?
We appreciate you being willing to take on the project and to come here and get some feedback rather than sometimes people jump in and then we meet them, so this is a lot more efficient for us.
We kind of started that way, but we didn't know what we were doing, so now
we
turned around and going the other direction.
Most of the people that come in here seem to have the same issue.
Starting experience.
So just maybe I guess to start off with, I met with you about a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, when I was first called in, and talked briefly, and some of the things I talked about that the commission would be looking at would be typical things like the scale of different features, windows, things like that, the window patterning. In addition, I have had a chance to have a quick conversation with some of our land use folks right now, just as design, just to let the commission know that the small lot development standards that there may need to be some movement on for the design include the projecting windows on the side elevation.
Right.
I believe those were, they want bay windows, what the land use code calls bay windows, which what they really mean is three windows together, or else those come back flat against the wall plane, and, or out of the setback anyways. The second thing is the driveway, I think, in the back has a maximum under the code of width of 14 feet. And then the third thing is there's a requirement for 10% open lot space, usable space of the total lot area. And some of these things may end up being a variance application or something like that. But that's a conversation I had anyways with land use. And so, and unfortunately, since the house that was built in 2006 next door, these are new development standards that have occurred since that point. So just to make sure the commission knows that.
So did I understand you correctly, you, that the projections from the second floor here are not allowed and are going away? Is that the case?
Or they'd be bay windows, I think.
Or they can be
45 the corners on that and put a window in.
On the corner, try to get it
Okay.
More of a bay effect versus a box effect.
Okay. Okay. I understand what you're talking about there.
Okay. Mainly just trying to keep enough room in the bedroom. You know, the hall and the bedroom are kind of limited with the hall going by. That is why we bumped it out in those two areas.
So, just from the neighborhood's perspective, these sort of long houses are not something that we like to see in the neighborhood, but this particular location already has one there, obviously, that was approved once before, and we knew that another one was going to go in there eventually. So to that extent, I think the neighborhood is resolved to that. The things that jump out to me about the proposed design that I would think that I would like to see different would be the sliding windows. I'd rather see double hung windows or casement windows. The large window in the front here on the first floor, you know, a more typical arrangement for windows in the neighborhood would be a gang window, two or three windows together, rather than the
one large window.
One large window.
Along those same lines as well, if I can jump in.
Sure.
And that the entry door should be distinct. That's something that's in the manual. And ganging the windows of that front living room with the entry door doesn't necessarily make the door entry look distinct. So I would suggest that the windows be sort of set aside from the door, that there be some siding between the windows and the door to make the entry more distinct.
The issue we'll run into that is if we're picking up, we only have one shear panel on the front of this, and for engineering.
Yeah, I understand.
And if we move into that, then I don't know what we do to the engineering of the structure. And if we make the windows a little bit smaller to get away from it, then we lose out on the small lot design because we have to have a certain percentage of glazing on the front. So that's a challenge on that. I could, you know, I think this is like a 6x6. I'd have to look at the schedule on it, but if we went with maybe some 2.5x5s and moved them over a little bit and then trimmed them out with a real nice craftsman style to get them away from the door a little bit. And I just don't know what that's going to do to my glazing percentage on it, because that was one of the first things we had to meet in the actual architectural of building it.
If I'll glazing the door, I'm not sure that's a good idea from our perspective.
Well, this has glazing in the door already.
Got
yeah.
That there.
So, Ruben, when there are requirements like that, is there any flexibility with the small lot requirements in the glazing area, that if it's a fenestration pattern that's approved by the commission?
Yes, I mean, I haven't looked at the small lot standards specifically, but two things. First of all, when it involves a historic structure, the Landmarks Commission's decision will trump the zoning requirements. Within the historic district project undergoing design review, there is some leeway given to the Landmarks Commission's application of their design guidelines in the district. It's not as explicit in the zoning code, but there's probably some room there if the Landmarks Commission was, you know, concerned about specific design elements. I can always talk to the land use planner that's reviewing it. Right now, we go through so many code amendments, but I think that there's probably not a formalized rule where the Landmarks trumps for new construction, but I think we could probably get some room.
Okay, because it does seem the amount of glazing area that they require on the front facade doesn't necessarily fit with what I think would be the desired appearance of the front facade.
I agree with you. I think two single hungs there dressed out and moved over a little bit would look a lot nicer. We're just, yeah. We had to hit their 23% in the actual drafting of this just to get them to look at that portion of it.
So. I also think that the sliding door above with the open rail is not what we would want to see either.
Like a French door or?
The building that's adjacent that has a widow's walk up there, but is not across the whole facade. That there's still a porch appearance to it because it's not the whole width of the structure.
Right.
I think if you look at that one, I would say that that's a more desirable front appearance. Mainly that it brings the scale of the front facade down to a more one-story look in terms of it has a one-story look of a porch. Rather than this two-story portico type appearance, that would be preferable if the overall scale of the front could be reduced down to a more one-story porch appearance, even if there is a widow's walk on a smaller portion. The two-story portico, I think, is just not appropriate for the area. There's not a lot of other examples of two-story porticos, like, I don't even know if portico is the right word, but doubled porches like that that go across the whole front facade of the building. And I know you only have a very small, narrow building, but I think that further makes that look kind of stand out.
From when that one was built to when this one's going in, though, code change on the small lots, we're required to have a separation of 5 foot on the porch before we get to the house structure on it.
Yep.
So we're trying to, it's like we're in the middle of two different departments putting requirements.
I understand that.
On
we
it.
Would still, I mean, I think a 5 foot porch is still desirable. What I'm saying is not desirable is a 5 foot second floor porch that runs the full width of the structure.
So we drop the gable down onto the front and then you would, I'm not sure how you're going to.
If you look at the image of the building adjacent, not that I think that this is the most beautiful thing in the world, but that it's an example of something that I think would better comply with the intent of the code. You can see that they have a one-story porch structure that has a roofline that appears at that first level, and then they have a second-story widow's walk, but that second-story widow's walk does not span the whole width of the facade, and I would say that would be much more desirable in terms of maintaining the look and feel of the neighborhood than the two-story full height, full width.
If we can get something in writing that says we don't have to meet their glazing requirements, we could do that. But that does not even come close to the new requirements on the codes there. That's where, you know, running into that issue.
So you got the door on the second floor centered there, and the amount of glazing you have on that door is driven by the zoning.
The new code, correct.
And so, okay.
Is that for sustainability, that code?
Probably.
No.
Or
it's probably for light.
Light, yeah.
It's also trying to be an appearance code. They're trying to make sure that it maintains an open appearance to the neighborhood. You don't want a blank wall facing the street.
Yeah.
Eyes
that
on
makes
the
sense.
Street,
I was just
that kind of
the driving.
I mean, we could build the front identical to that one. That wouldn't be hard to change on this at all. But I don't want to go back and then start all that process again and then come back in and say,
well,
you don't have the glazing and
sure,
check
sure,
back
no,
out again.
Not being completely familiar with this design, I haven't driven by this, but it does appear as if they have French doors on the second floor and that they have two double hungs. It looks as though they've just pushed those openings all the way to the side of the, rather than centering them on the facade, they pushed them further to the right. So it does look as if it's a double door up there. It's French doors. And they've added an additional little
window
there.
On the side,
and
there.
They have two double hungs there.
Yep.
So it may just be an issue of configuration. And not that I'm telling you that this is the only possibility, but I'm saying in comparison, I think this is a more desirable appearance to that front facade than what you've shown. for the sake of the manual, not no other concern out there, just what the manual states, which is distinct front door, porches, a scale that's appropriate for the neighborhood, and that kind of
right.
thing. That seems to meet the intent of the code.
And I'd be willing to, I mean, I can certainly have that start that conversation with, I think it's Chanta France has this plan set
right.
at her desk, and talk to her a little bit about what the possibilities and the flexibilities there are for that, just at least so the commission knows.
Sure.
Because, yeah, we won't get you, or try to get you stuck between two different
right.
opposing forces. That's not the objective, and so... you know, but if I think that there's some you know, points, good points brought up that I can explore further and find out if there's any room there at all. And if that, I mean, if there isn't, then we can, you know, say there's not. And there's other you know ways to deal with.
The other issue that on the small lot design, since this was 06 or...
Yeah, 2006.
Right, and after that we adopted on the small lot designs not to have any shed roofs on the front. So we're, you know, that's another issue that gets kicked up on these. So they want all the roofs, the gables to go to the sides.
Instead of having a...
To have anything as a shed to the front of the... You know, so it eliminates hip roofs, shed roofs, anything like that on the front of it.
It says only gables?
Only gables.
Even on the porch?
That's what they want, yeah.
I'd have to dive into
all
the code, but...
I've done a lot of the small lot designs. I just haven't done the historicals. And it's, they take the percentage of the gables into the for the glazing. I've had to actually just put a phony little windows up into the gables before just
yeah.
to make it meet the glazing codes.
Okay.
So
well, that's something we can. We have time. We're not going in for final approval here, so we can. I think we can continue, just kind of fleshing out what our sort of recommendations would be, and then staff could make inquiries into the conflicts that may exist with other codes, and I think that's something that we can manage. Right, Ruben?
Yes.
Okay.
I can find out if there's flexibility or there's no flexibility.
Right. Shanta's yeah. the one that I submitted
yeah.
to
yeah.
talk
yeah.
to her on.
Okay.
And so I mean I'll have a conversation with her and just find out exactly. I mean if the commission, for instance, has some you know strong concerns and it may, you know, it may, there may be some discretion in there, and in which case we probably have to, or ask the commission to resolve, to communicate, you know, some concerns about the application of those certain specific standards, which specific standards they are that are running in conflict with the character of the historic district. But I'll talk to her about if that's possible and what she'd need to see in order for that to be taken. If that's something that, again, like if for your needs, if the commission feels that way and is possible, if it's acceptable to you, you know, move some windows around to reduce the scale of the front porch, that sort of thing, and can still get it permitted. I mean, you said before it's not a huge change to the design of the building for you. Is that correct?
No, this is a good-looking design. It's just that if I took and put this on here and took it back upstairs again, then
no.
they're going to say no.
Right.
And then we're back down here again.
So, no, I need to, I mean, before we go that far, I need to have a conversation with Sean.
Right.
Which I can do.
Regarding the structural concerns about needing shear walls on the front facade, is this, are you using prescriptive requirements of
no, this is engineered,
it's
like P&E's
okay.
on this one.
Okay. So the garage that's off-centered in the facade on the back, is that off-centered because of the shear wall concern?
The problem in the back is the open space that's required. I think we need a 12 by 25 open space.
Okay.
And so, 300 square feet, so we can't have a driveway go into the garage. So we would actually have to come in with a 12-foot driveway and then pork chop it to the rest of the garage just to leave that open space to meet another requirement.
Okay.
And, yeah, so that, it would be better to have it all the way straight through to the garage, because after we sell it, guess what? They're going to be driving right across the lawn into the garage. So then we'll have mud that'll get tracked you know, in the wintertime or whatever. But that's the only way that we can make the open space requirement is to... It is a challenge. I mean, it's definitely a challenge. I've done a lot of the townhomes, you know, 50, 60 different townhomes through Tacoma, and they all have their challenges, and we're just trying to meet them and move on with them and get this one up. Like to have it real nice. This is a great neighborhood. You know, North End Tacoma, to be able to find any kind of lots over there anymore, they're not easy, you know, and so... it's a great project. We wanted to stay away from the three stories, which would be the next move. We'd have to go up to gain the 300 square feet into the back someplace for the open space. So, I mean, if that's a requirement that we could cut down a little bit, we could do better with the driveway for that purpose in the back. But as it stands,
that's
going to
be
right
a lot
now,
more of a challenge than things that are zoning related like that. I think it might be more of an uphill battle. But I was just curious about why the garage was offset. There's a lot of issues on here that are things that are pretty straightforward. If you check out in the reference manual what we typically recommend for new construction, there's some things that just jump out at me right away, and that's the use of board and batten. It says pretty specifically in the reference manual that we don't like the use of board and batten just because there's no precedent for that in this neighborhood, really, historically.
Yeah, we don't care about changing.
So changing out those gable ends, the same thing with the round attic vents that we would typically recommend, a rectangle. The siding looks fine, and so does the trim around the windows, except if you are planning on using the hardy plank siding, then we typically recommend smooth is what we approve rather than the
wood grain.
Which is something that can be ordered. The window orientation, like Marshall pointed out, it says in the reference manual that we prefer vertically oriented windows. There's a lot of horizontal
on the sliders
windows here, and there's sliders. Typically, we like double hungs. You can use casements if it's a smaller window, but not in the case of the sort of primary windows for the building. We would ask that those be double hungs or single hungs. The front porch, the railing type, it looks like it's some type of glass open railing. We typically prefer something that's more historic in nature, or wood, painted wood.
Okay.
Siding, use the siding on that one.
Talk to Severin, you might have to.
As a siding wall, pony wall type railing.
Talk to Severin.
Right, what you've done here.
That's typically preferred.
Okay.
I haven't done it. Those kinds of things, but a lot of that you can probably find just by looking in the reference manual when it comes to material and window orientation.
And on changing any of that, this is just a typical Northwest design. They draw it up, and we usually, I side them however I'm going to side them out on the site, so anything that you would redline and want to change, we can take care of that. The things I would have to check on the bedrooms with the sliders, they make egress. I might have to change the size of the windows to be, you know, a single hung window. They don't always open up the same amount, and you got to hit the egress on that.
Have
so
5 feet open area.
Yeah,
you could do a casement.
Yeah, casements will work for that, and
the casements usually end up bigger than the slider, or than the if you just did a double hung.
I would, I'd think you know, a double hung window would especially on the sides.
So those are the, those are the typical concerns that we would have about a project like this when it gets into the more detail and material sort of related questions. You can pretty much find all of that in the North Slope.
Is that something that you need to have redrawn, or can we just redline on there hardy siding to be smooth and...
I can redline all over the permit set.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, as long as we're clear as to to what it's going to be. I mean, for actual, you know, configuration, like structural changes, you want to have those. But if you're talking about minor things like that, you know, down to like window type and configuration, I mean, I can cloud it and write on whatever is agreed on.
Okay. Yeah, just to change out the batten board to hardy shake or something.
No, we won't want you to redraft them just for that.
Okay.
The thing about the driveways is an odd idea. Remember in the 20s, 1920s, they
do,
like
do the strips.
I
tried
they
that.
Count that space.
They won't do that. But you're breaking up the 300 square foot area by putting the strip through it. I already ran that one by them up there. I thought
about,
I had to
for those open block.
That was the other thing. The open block won't work either.
Nope.
Okay.
The issue is if it's being used as a driveway, the driveway standards for the city define what a driveway width is, and the driveway width of usable driveway area cannot encroach on the open area because the open area is really intended to be used for open area, not for parking your car.
The driveway and garage door aren't going to be visually prominent anyway, really.
Yeah, that's
just odd.
It won't be odd when it's done, you know, and then it's to police the people that live there, not to drive across the grass. So.
Or pour concrete.
Yeah.
Any other comments or feedback?
I can get these comments summarized for you, and so you'll have those notes to go forward, and I'll find a time in the next couple of days to sit down with Shant and just go through some of these items too, just so at least we have some early guidance on that and see if it's what the possibilities are anyways. And then typically for this, what would happen is for the Landmarks Commission's purposes, once you have a design that meets the zoning requirements, the commission then would consider it as a design review. If it requires a variance or anything like that, the variance thing has got to get resolved before it comes back to the commission as a final design. Just the commission, we try not to have them review things that the city won't permit. So we'll figure all that out. There's quite a bit of feedback here, I think, that probably gives you a sense of the direction what the commission would like to see. And so,
I have a question for you, though, Brumman.
Yeah.
In other projects that we've looked at, new construction like this, that we recommend that the garage is detached from the house?
Most cases.
Because the house adjacent to this one is already built in this style, is the commission sort of supposed to accept the kind of massing and
not necessarily.
Style?
I think that there's two things that... In the 2006 design, first of all, these design guidelines that the commission has now come later than that 2006 project. But the second thing is that because of the configuration of the lot and the narrowness of it and trying to get a certain amount of square footage and so forth on the lot, and because that garage on that other building was alley accessed, and there's very little visibility on any of the sides of the building elevation. I mean, it looks extremely long when you're looking at it from the air, but it doesn't... looks like a bubble design. It looks extremely long from the air, but from the street, it's really hard to tell. Both is an apartment building just to the other side of that building. So the commission at that time didn't have a whole lot of concern with the attached garage because it had the traditional access and because it wasn't much of a visual impact on the district. And so the design guidelines generally say detached. I think it's like attached garages are generally not appropriate for the historic district.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, this came up with the Grant Street design feedback too, where because of the lot configuration, was it better to have a detached garage that affected the rest of the design of the lot, or was it better to attach them?
The garage, would be three story.
The real concern on the. Attached garages is with a front-facing entrance.
Right.
That's what's the biggest no-no in the historic district. Mm-hmm. So as long as you make so the real emphasis is maintaining that alley entrance to the extent possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's always been sort of the trade-off to the extent that we can keep the alley access. As the traditional pattern in the neighborhood, and so forth.
And I think I would add to it, it's not this project, but part of that, the intent there also is for the historic district is not to have people attaching garages to existing houses, building, remodeling a house and attaching a garage to it. So, That's, I think we're, that's the intent.
We're just, you know, to try to get the square footage over there for what the market is in the north end. It's definitely higher. Mm-hmm. And if we did a detached garage, you'd be at a two-bedroom house. And, you know, is it cost-effective to do all that in there then, too? Because that's the end of it that we're looking at on it. So then we'd go up and, you know, I don't know if that's what you want in the neighborhood is, you know, three stories because it's already up on a hill. It would be a little bit out of proportion.
City high limits would probably hit you before that ever happened.
Yeah.
And then you would be stuck with this. You'd have a garage and then you'd have like a little breezeway sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then
yeah. This actually works pretty good for that piece of property if it's allowable by you to do something like this and to, you know, change the appearances on it. We're all for making it look as good as we possibly can. That's what's going to, you have a certain clientele that goes into the north end and purchases over there, and that's what they want. You know, we want to give them a little more of that gingerbread and nicer appeal than what we build on the east side of Tacoma.
Careful, don't call it gingerbread.
Well, that's the whole
then
idea.
It rains and comes off, yeah.
And that's the whole idea of the deck, you know, out of the master bedroom to have a nicer deck that you could actually use versus something like this that you can't hardly get out on.
You're looking out at the water from up there on this, mm-hmm. So that's...
Yeah. Thank you for your willingness to listen and to build in the neighborhood and consider the changes. I think it's going to give us some interesting feedback when the small lot aesthetic sort of issues hit our issues and see where they give. I didn't understand the whole dormer shed roof issue thing because hopefully they will let that slide.
We may have more conversations about that on the
yeah.
policy level.
Yeah, I mean, that may be an issue we need to address in an overall. So, I don't know.
So I'll be in touch with the follow up and okay. I'll. First thing I'll do is I'll go have a conversation with Sean DeFrance and see.
If you want me there, I'd be happy to come down.
I think what I'll do first is I'll kind of suss out some of the sticking points okay. with her, and then I'll give you a ring.
We'll do whatever we can to help. So, right. Now is it possible to get a copy of this? Because yeah. I would run that back by the architect, if that's the direction that we end up going. I can get it later.
Yeah, I'll make a scan of it and email it.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that's just simple changes, as long as they'd allow us to do some of those changes. So.
Maybe you could scan this with the red lines, too.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure, I can do that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is a learning experience.
Us too, actually.
Yeah. The next house,
oh, that's all windows and all the gables are out to the street. Doing two of those right there.
A little one over the front door.
It's got a rounded, had to stick frame the gable to get more glass in it. Yeah, so that's all in. They look good. They just get a little bit challenging on that one that we're doing two of them right now, two small lot designs, and had to pull back into the dining room, pour the foundation underneath, and bring a shear wall up in between the two rooms to carry the load because there's no shear on that front wall's balloon framed. And it's just little challenges. They can get taken care of as long as we know what we're doing. So. Yeah. It's fun. We're building Tacoma out there still.
We want it to look good too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's this?
Yeah, I have some
part of our business.
Yeah, I have something too.
Great. Item 6 of the agenda is court business and preservation planning.
And I have something. Thank you very much for that. I have an item that just came in today. I wanted to run by the commission as sort of a piece of guidance, and that is on the building. I'm going to just pass around a picture of the building at, let's do this first, 933 Market Street, which is just over there at Tacoma Comedy Club.
Okay.
That building was put on the historic register back in 2003 with the idea that there'd be some rehab work done on it. It had some integrity issues when it was put on the register, and it continues to have some. There's been some discussion, I think I've had some discussion with this commission before about the possibility of removing that building from the register. It didn't quite turn out the way that that we thought it would be. The owners, they're fine with it. They'd probably rather not be on the register. They were the ones that put it on, but they never did their special tax valuation project. They did add the canopy and opened up those storefronts in the building with the commission's approval back in 2005. The execution wasn't that great. But I'll suffice it to say, so there may be something coming to the Landmarks Commission in the future about a request to remove this from the register, but that's not what I'm here to talk about right now. What I'm here to talk about right now is that canopy that they put on the building needs to be replaced. And it was put on, and the commission had reviewed it in 2005, and it was put on the building in 2008, and it has begun fading. There's water incursion on the side of it and so forth. What I'm passing around right now is their new design, which is pretty similar to the old design, except they are decreasing. Right now, the overhang is 8 feet. They'd like to decrease it down to 4 feet. And then building code right now is no longer going to allow them to use the chains that they hung the one with back in 2008. They want to use tie rods or rod hangers on there. That would be the only change. Because of the building's integrity, because of the potential actually for the ongoing discussion about potentially removing this from the register, because the canopy that is on there currently was added in 2008, I wanted to bring this to the commission's attention before I went ahead and made them go through a full design review packet and everything like that just to change that canopy. Canopy will look the same except the chains, which were added by them in 2008 as well, will be switched to rod, and then the overhang will go from 8 to 4.
So, not that this is a North Slope thing, but I'll ask a question anyway. So is this beyond your administrative approval?
Well, I thought about putting it out for administrative review, and seeing if there are any concerns with the commission. It's a little bit complicated, so the more complicated they get, the more chances there are that people are going to have questions about it. Since I have the commission here tonight, I decided to walk it out for some guidance. But no, if we weren't going to have a commission meeting for another 2 weeks, I would have written it up as an administrative review. But you're here, so.
What year was this building built?
I have a file. It's older than it looks.
Yeah.
Do you have photos of what it looked previous to them putting the aluminum siding over?
It's actually, probably concrete. The building, I think, 1920s. It was an old car dealership. Here's a picture of, here's a package. It shows a picture of before they put the canopy on. The building has looked different. It's had many different iterations. It was glass block tiled in the 50s with a nice streamline canopy on it with metal fascia and the nice neon letters there. It was a grocery store. Here we have it as a, and this is the look they're more going for. It's a Safeway in the 1940s. And that's, so they have a canopy there, and which is pretty close to what they have built now, except that, again, structurally, there's a lot of, if you drive by it now, you'll see it does this.
It's got some good heavy timber construction on the inside.
Oh, yes, it's a car deck and all the heavy duty stuff.
I want to actually go by and look at it, because I don't think I can see it very well from that picture, and I don't really remember it off the top of my head. But I kind of like it. I don't know why, but I kind of...
Have you ever been inside?
Oh. So, yeah, no, I know. It looked better in that picture.
It has absolutely nothing historic value inside.
Well, the structure is still there, though, right?
Yeah.
Is it covered by drop ceiling or something?
It's covered by everything.
Yeah, it's...
And we can have the discussion about the listing and the register status at another time. That's mostly the sort of the proximal thing is the proximate thing is the canopy, and but I mean in terms of like I'll be perfectly honest. If this were to come in as a potential register nomination now, my guidance to them would be no.
I don't have any problem with the on-air change.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
You need a motion.
Sure.
I move that we allow the awning change at 933 Bergen Street.
Great.
Is that appropriate?
That's fine.
Sounds good.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion's approved.
Are we sweeping your idea under the rug here, though, Rubinish?
What's that?
Decommissioning?
Well, if that proposal does come in, really, I mean, I haven't had time to work on it for them, and so they really need to do it right now themselves, otherwise we'll get to it
bigger. That was not really on the table tonight.
Okay.
No.
Is that something that you feel the property owner is going to propose at a later date?
Maybe.
Okay. I agree that if looking at that second picture, I was kind of curious why that would. How did that get passed when it did get passed?
Well,
was it just part of a bigger nomination.
No, it was sort of a extremely borderline nomination at the time. That was actually at the time between the previous preservation officer leaving and me coming in, and so some of the practice has been if there's a rehab project that is proposed that involves a building that is on that borderline, the commission would take it and recommend it for listing and register. And then what happens is if the project doesn't occur the way that it was proposed to occur or doesn't occur at all, then you end up with property with really, pretty low integrity on the register. And so overall, it's kind of my opinion anyways, that going forward through time, there might be a need for a little bit of cleanup on the historic register, keeping, of course, doing a really good job protecting the properties that are on it, but then there's some that are really, that were put on and then no project ever happened or they have lost their integrity. I'm not really concerned about that, but it's really like some of these real, that would be my ultimate goal, is just kind of as a cultural resource management piece. But this is really the example that I can think of that is just... I mean, it's a great old building, good old bones, but as far as having the integrity, the location, setting, materials, feeling, association, all that kind of stuff, it's just, it's not really there. But at the same time, it is on the register now. And so currently design review is required for it. So.
See, I could see if the right property owner came forward.
Oh, yeah.
With the improvements that they wanted to make and asked for a special tax evaluation, that I could see it totally being something that we would want to approve. I think it's just until that moment comes, if it ever comes, it's probably just going to sit there and not worth us dealing with the stuff they do to it, canopy related, because the real value in this building is the structure on a primary kind of level, and the history behind it. I mean, I do think it's kind of interesting. A nice old Safeway, the car dealership, things that are interesting, that have value.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great old structure. If you look at the size of the heavy timber in it, it's something that someone could do something very cool with if they wanted to at some point.
That is true.
Yeah. It's a great old storefront.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like what would happen if George Costanza and Seinfeld got to design a lounge together. It's just an explosion of bad taste.
It's a comedy club. Item 7, there's chair comments. I don't have any. Are there any other announcements or comments? If not, thank you, Lisa. Welcome. Richard.
Thank you.